Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, for his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What do we learn here? Christ is my worth. Christ is my... See, when all your value is found in Jesus Christ, then you look at the world and you're just like, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I have or don't have. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. I got Jesus. He's my worth.
Hi friends, hi loved ones, welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host Craig, and today you have joined us for the conclusion of our Citizens of Heaven series, a series that has found us walking verse by verse through the book of Philippians. And hey, before we dive into God's Word together today, we want to talk briefly, just quickly, about our website and all the great resources that are available to you there. Liveinthelight.ca has a ton of helpful things that you might want to check out. You can find out a little bit more about who we are or where we broadcast to. You can find out about our latest series, and maybe you even want to grab a copy of an episode that you might have missed. And maybe equally important, you want to find out more information on becoming what we call a power partner to this ministry. Obviously, Live in the Light is a listener-supported ministry, which means that we're on the air right now because of God's grace to us through your gifts. And being a power partner means that you're committing to contribute $30 a month or more to Live in the Light, which helps us to stay online in all of these great networks that we're in. So if you want to check out all that stuff, and make sure you visit us online. And hey, but while you're there, make sure you check out our podcast. I don't know if you had that, if you knew that we had that. We do have a podcast, and you can subscribe to that at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I have said enough. Let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie with today's message in Philippians chapter 4.
Pause, think, apply. If we've been given everything in Christ Jesus as the single greatest treasure of infinite worth, ultimately then, there is nothing else we need in this life. I mean, let's just do a review. We've done this a little bit already in this service. Let's just do a review from Philippians alone on this theme that Christ by himself is everything we could ever need, okay? First verse, Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What are we learning here? Christ is my life. If I have Christ, if I have Jesus, if I have believed in him and he's forgiven my sins, there's nothing else I need. He is life itself. Next verse, Philippians 3:8. Indeed, Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the one of my favorite verses in the New Testament, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Listen, for his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. What do we learn here? Christ is my worth. Christ is my... See, when all your value is found in Jesus Christ, then you look at the world and you're just like, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I have or don't have. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. I got Jesus. He's my worth. Word for moms right now, eh? I just love speaking about moms. Your worth, women, your worth is in Jesus. Your worth is not in your appearance. Your worth is not in your clothing. Your worth is not in how things you say or the places you hope to. Your worth is not based on kind of what's happened through your life and how your kids are doing. No. Your worth is Jesus Christ. And you take that to the spiritual bank right now. You throw it in the face of all the lies of our society. Jesus Christ calls you daughter. What else do you need? Or at least God the Father calls you daughter and Jesus Christ is your Savior. What else do you need? Next slide. Philippians 3, 14, 15. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Listen, Christ is my prize. The only thing I'm ultimately seeking to achieve in this life by grace is that Jesus Christ is my prize. I press on the prize, the upward call, Christ Jesus. Ready? If we're mature, we think this way. If we're mature, we know that he is my prize. Not the next vacation, not the next car we want to get, not the next item, not the next gadget, not the next truth. No, no, no. Christ is my prize. Next verse, Philippians 3:20. We know this verse. We know it well. Our citizenship is in heaven. We await our Savior, Jesus. Christ is my identity. He is my citizenship. This is my destination, Jesus Christ, my identity. Just think, take it in, man. People around you, they're so mean to you. People say this and that. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, their words will fall. The word of Jesus will last forever. Last one here, Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the, tell me, Lord. Always, again, I will say, rejoice in the Lord. So Christ is my joy. He's my joy. Not my circumstances I hope to get better, not the job I hope to have, not the relationship I'm hoping ultimately that will be come around my way. No, no, no. At the end of the day, Jesus Christ is my, everything else will let us down. So you see, when you know you've been given everything, then it changes what you strive for. It allows you to start experiencing contentment on a new level. Paul is going out of his way to communicate that to us. I came across a couple of, I think, nice little stories this week I wanted to share with you because I appreciate them. Philip Parham is the name. He tells the story of a rich industrialist who was disturbed to find a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. "Why aren't you out there fishing?" he asked. "Because I've caught enough fish today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" the rich man asked. "What would I do with them?" "You could earn more money," came the impatient reply. "And buy better boats. You go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, make more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman then asked, "And then what would I do?" "You could sit down and enjoy life," said the industrialist. "What do you think I'm doing now?" said the fisherman, as he looked placidly out at the sea. Now, listen, are we in favor of hard work? 100%. But what are we working for? The ability to sit still and know that he is God. The ability, isn't it, you like me sometimes, it is so powerful to look at all the messages of this world and be like, I don't need you. I'm good. I don't need that. All the advertising you want, it's not true. I'm not gonna be a better person if I have your shirt on my back or I have your jewelry on my neck. No. I got everything I need. It's so powerful to stare right in the face of the demonic system of our world, which is rooted in luxurious living, all kinds of stuff. I look at it and be like, you're wrong. I don't need you. In your face, lie. Jesus Christ is all I need. It's powerful. It's not wrong to have clothing. Thank you for dressing up and wearing clothing today at church. It's not wrong to have jewelry. It's not wrong to drive a car. It's like, that's not wrong, but hear what's happening here. It's so powerful to look and say, Christ is enough. It's so powerful. Think about it. Why is consumer debt all-time high? One of the main reasons is a lack of contentment. It's one of the main reasons. Why are you, some of you right now, you're overspending. You're spending more than you make. Why? You have to answer that question. It's a problem. It's a heart problem. It's a lack of contentment problem. Why can't we sit still? Moving jobs, moving houses, moving communities, moving relationships, moving churches. One of the main reasons for that is a lack of contentment. We must have more. We must have bigger. We must have better. We must have different. We must have newer. Just think about it. Why is the divorce rate so high? One of the reasons is a lack of contentment. I wish it was like this. I wish it was, really? I know it's complicated. I'm just saying, man, one of the reasons. Why so much addiction? Why so much greed? There's various reasons for this. One of the reasons is, though, I'm not content. This world is not giving me what I need. And so perspective, as Paul is filling Philippians with, perspective is powerful. One other story I wanted to share with you. I love this one too. There's a story about a Jewish man in Hungary who went to his rabbi and complained, "Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answered, "Take your goat into the room with you." "Take your goat?" The man was incredulous, but the rabbi insisted, "Do as I say, come back in a week." A week later, the man returned looking more distraught than before. "We can't stand it," he told the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi said, "Go home and let the goat out and come back in a week." A week later, the man returned radiant, exclaiming, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat, only the nine of us." And the author of the story says, perspective helps, doesn't it? Perspective brings contentment. You know, I think it was C.S. Lewis. I haven't been able to track this quote down officially, but I was told C.S. Lewis said, with gratitude comes contrast. When you know you've been given everything ever in Jesus Christ, then you learn the secret of facing plenty and hunger, of poverty and abundance. Because it's like, loved ones, I mean, if you, like, even as I preach this, I'm just like, man, the more I can live this, the more powerful life becomes. Again, you can just filter through all the garbage and look at it and be like, okay, that's not wrong, but it's also not necessary. Like, to look at it and see if what it is. It's when you're craving and longing and you're restless and why can't I have? And it's driving your whole life and your whole heart. That's where we're in such danger. And Paul's like, I'm thankful for the gift. We're going to see that now. I'm thankful for your financial contributions to the gospel in my life. But he said, at the end of the day, I have Jesus and that's all I need. It's awesome. Lesson number one is, I must learn, for God's provision, I must learn the power of contentment. Lesson number two then is this, of God's provision, his school, I must experience the blessing of giving. I must experience the blessing of giving. Look at verse 14 now. Yet, see Paul transitioning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in terms of contentment, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when the gospel first met them through Paul's ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. So Paul is demonstrating he has proven contentment, yet he doesn't want this to diminish his joy or gratitude for the practical or financial support towards him by the Philippian church. See what I'm saying? I'm totally content, but I'm really also thankful. I'm thankful how God has used you. In fact, in verse 15, it says the Philippians were supporting Paul when no one else was. So this was huge, and that's beautiful. I love how one commentator pointed this out. He says, it's remarkable that these details are included in God's word. Right? Like, just that the Holy Spirit would take the time to write down for all generations forever the fact that the Philippian church were meeting the practical needs of the Apostle Paul. It teaches us this, okay? What is given to the Lord's servants is given to the Lord himself. Every cent is recorded by God. Every act written down. Every act of grace and generosity will be rewarded in some form in glory to Jesus Christ, again, throughout all of eternity. Just this past week, my wife Jill and I, we were discussing supporting and blessing certain individuals that we care about and are excited to see God working through them. And you know, you're there and you're like, oh, you know, like, okay, this is gonna be like a sacrifice. And you're like, well, let's just do it. Like, let's just do it. And then I came across this passage later on in the week and I was so greatly encouraged because I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, Rob, don't you see, Robbie, as you give to his servants, you're giving to the Lord himself. Like, it was such a beautiful, powerful thought. And just like, man, gotta do that more. When you give to the servants of the gospel, you're giving to Jesus himself. And it changes. I mean, sometimes we hesitate and we get so cheap or stingy and we're often just accumulating stuff for our own lives. But then to be able to bless and give and to sit there and say, I'm giving it to the Lord. That's awesome. Look at this verse on the screen from Luke's gospel, chapter 6, verse 38. So this is in the context of giving. The ESV study Bible is really helpful here. So I just kind of recorded what they said here. So notice, be given. If you give and it will be given by God. Okay, that's what Jesus is saying here. It will be given by God in good measure. That means not meagerly. God will, if you give, God gives back in abundance. It will be pressed down. So he gives back. It's like when you are pressing something in so there's as much space as possible to add more, it will be shaken. So you're sifting the contents, so it's settling down so more can be added, maximum fill. It says running over. There's a heap forming on the top of what's being given. Your lap, it says. Picture in ancient days a robe, and you're gathering your robe as like a big container of which you have totally filled. That's the picture here. Notice, the measure you use it will be measured back to you. It's pretty hard to miss what Jesus is saying here. This is all in the context of giving. You reap what you sow, 2 Corinthians 9:6. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow generously, you reap generously. You know, I said to myself a few times again this week, loved ones, and this text, it just kind of snuck up on me again. You're coming to the end of Philippians, and you know there's some greetings, and you know maybe 4 verse 13, but then you're this section, you're like, man, look what the Lord's telling us again. I said to myself a few times this week, Robbie, you can't outgive God. Like, you just can't outgive him. And it really becomes a test of faith. And it's so exciting where God, again, Malachi 3, test me. See, I'll not pour out the blessing, all in the context of giving as well. Along with giving to the Lord is the promise. Listen, you have to see this right in this text, undeniably. When we give to the Lord, there's a promise of his provision in our lives. A provision of grace, a provision of joy, a provision of the practical. We'll get to that in just a second. However God provides, he decides, but you will not be disappointed. God promises to provide to the individuals who give towards his gospel. But listen, he wants to see hearts that give. So this is a very, very important sentence I'm about to read here, okay? It's this, okay? Simply put, if I kind of summarize this part right here, loved ones, you cannot know the full provision of God apart from giving to his work and his kingdom. I'll say it again. You have to hear this. Undeniably, irrefutably, from his word today, you cannot know the full provision of God if you fail to give towards his working kingdom. It's just right here. Why does God care so much about this? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is. If you're here right now and your giving is like weak and meager and stingy and miserly, you are forfeiting blessing of some kind, guaranteed. I have no apology saying that. If you're just storing up for yourselves in bigger barns, your reward is here and now, not in the world to come. I'll say it one more time, because this is one of the greatest problems of our day. That's why Jesus talks about money more than heaven and hell combined. A failure to give to the work of the Lord and his kingdom, you are forfeiting blessing upon your life, and you cannot know the full provision of God in some form, in some way. And right now, that explains why some of us are struggling so much. Not just financially, relationally, seeing God's joy in our lives. I'm telling you, it's part of what's happening there. Want to hear me? I'm not preaching prosperity right now. I'm preaching provision. I'm preaching God and what he says and the way that he decides, he promises to provide. Look at verse 17 now, okay? Not that I seek the gifts. See, Paul's heart's not set on this. He's not set on the financial gifts of the Philippians, but he says, look at this. This is amazing. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He's using accounting terms now. Paul's using the language of an investment manager. I'm seeking the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Watch this. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So this is exciting. In verse 17, their fruit of giving, that's the context, is increasing dividends, profit to their account. As I said, Paul is speaking in financial terms, in management terms. He's indicating here their giving is an investment of eternal proportions. There's interest compounding. There's dividends accumulating, which will be revealed at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, that's awesome. So Paul is saying, I mean, just that phrase right there, but the fruit that increases to your credit, Paul is saying our giving is gathering supernatural interest. Whether we see it all here and now, the day will come where the generosity of God's people will be rewarded with something glorious and amazing when Jesus Christ returns. So, here's a time for wisdom right now, right? Wisdom time. Again, if you're living for this world, that's your reward, the world. Please understand that. If all you're living for is now, you've got your reward, loved ones. And it's not that great, is it? But if we give to the work of the kingdom, there's a greater reward to come then. So how do we do that? By faith. By faith, we live for him who matters. We invest in the gospel. Let us live that this fruit, look at the fruit, might be seen. Our accounts are growing in spiritual profit. That's awesome. Notice in verse 18 now, their giving is a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. I mean, wow. Paul is adopting Old Testament sacrificial language regarding their giving. That's a really big deal. Was there a higher level of value to the Lord than the sacrifices in the Old Testament of his people to him? But this, loved ones, what Paul's doing is taking this now into the New Testament, and he's using the same terminology to say, this is the spiritual value of giving to the work of Christ. It's amazing. It's a fragrant offering. Now listen to me. When we take up the offering here at church, it is truly that, an offering. Like, it is worship. It's right here. When we give to the gospel, it's a fragrant offering to God. There's an aroma rising up into the nostrils of God. It's a sacrifice acceptable. It's pleasing to God, he says right here. Amazing. I mean, look at what Paul's doing. You think Paul is being a little bit dramatic? I guess not. He's just unpacking it. The power of giving to the kingdom by those who have a heart for Christ and his work. The offering rising as a fragrance to the Lord. Our giving is sacred in the eyes of God, sacrifice acceptable. Our giving is pleasure to the heart of God. It pleases him. 2 Corinthians says God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that. It pleases the Lord. Question. I just got to bottom line it right now. Question. Are you giving? Are you giving to the work of the Lord? Is it generous? Is it sacrificial? Is it cheerful? The Philippians had this figured out, man. And Paul was like, wow, you guys are such a blessing. Your treasure is where it's supposed to be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Finally, notice in verse 19, their giving will be met with God's supply. Okay, here's the promise. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Notice here that God promises to supply our needs, not our greeds, as the saying goes. But notice he promises to provide our needs nonetheless. So don't miss this promise, loved ones. Ready? God is saying to those who faithfully give to him, ready? Here it is. They will never lack as he decides. But that's a promise you take to the bank, spiritually speaking. Those who faithfully give to him, they will never lack as God decides. It's not how we decide. It's how God decides. Okay? Why? Look at verse 19. He will supply according to his riches in glory. Notice, it's not out of his riches, right? If a person with $1 million gives like $5, they're giving out of their riches. But when they have $1 million and you give $100,000, well, that's giving according to their riches. How rich is Jesus? Pretty rich. He will supply according to his riches, the glory and infinite blessing of his riches, the infinite abundance of the riches found in Christ Jesus. He's not gonna run out of the ability to supply you or me. I read recently Psalm 50:11. God says, "For every beast is mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all mine. It's all mine." He just did whatever he wants to do, man. Whatever he wants to do. Don't you love the story sometimes of those that are, you know, anti-God, anti-Christ, and they have this massive, massive fortunes, and somehow God just ordains that their fortune is now left to some kind of charity that's serving him in the gospel. I love when those things happen. He does whatever he wants, man. He's like, "Yeah, thanks. That's mine. Bye-bye." And just hands it over to the people over here. "Yeah, give it to you." He does whatever he wants, man. He does whatever he wants because he is God. This is the God who promises to provide for us. So consider all this truth in the school of God's provision, right? We simply forfeit blessing when we don't give. Again, it's right here in front of you today and me. So the school of God's provision. Learn the power of contentment. Experience the blessing of giving. It's amazing how in God's economy, giving is how we see God's provision. And then thirdly, and we'll just be really brief here, I must go in the grace of Christ. When it comes to God's provision, I must go in the grace of Christ. Look at how Paul ends his letter. So he has some greetings here. He loves his brothers and sisters. Look at verse 23 though. "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." How did Paul begin this letter? Grace and peace to you. How does Paul end this letter? "The grace," notice, "of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Loved ones, ready? How do we ultimately see contentment? When we see God's grace. When we recognize the grace of Jesus in the gospel, we are content. How do we give? How do we give when we see God's grace? It's all come down to grace. How do we go in the instruction of the letter to the Philippians? It's God's grace. It's all grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, joy's mentioned, what, 15 times or so? In Philippians, Jesus is mentioned 50 times. What does that tell us? All of life is lived and found in the grace of Jesus Christ. The more we see his grace, the more contentment, the more generosity, the more strength, the more power, the more love, the more we sing. The single greatest reason Paul had these things in his life, the single greatest reason was because he had perspective. He knew where he was going. He knew he was going to see Jesus one day so soon, and he knew all that Jesus gave to him. So church, let's do that. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, you are everything, surpassing worth, joy, life, identity, the supreme value. That's how we can be content to see you. That's why we give. We see you, and we go in the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. So I just pray even right now, there's even a joy growing in our hearts that we can look at the world and be like, "Yeah, no thanks." Or just like, "Hey world, you just don't have your hold on me because Jesus is mine and I am his. And Jesus is everything."
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. We found this ministry to be such a blessing to us as well as our listeners. Our mission here at Live in the Light is to see the radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next time at Live in the Light.